FCS Nation, it's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm coming to you from the beautiful Bitterroot Valley of Montana this week. Joining me, like he always does, is the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. Stone is coming to you from his broadcast center in the Sunshine State of Florida. Stone, we learned some things last week, I think. We learned Tarleton State is still pretty darn good. We learned Montana State can be forced into some offensive struggles. We also learned that Southern Illinois is pretty darn good. I think we knew that before, but we've got an awful lot of games to get to in a short time to get there, so let's just get right to it. Up first, number 3, Montana State 17, Mercyhurst, nothing.
I mean, I think there's a lot to be upset about this performance, to be quite frank with you. Coach Brent Vegan was very upset. He voiced that in his press conference. I mean, there's not much to say. When you watch South Dakota State play Drake, I chalk that up to just a football game. This, I can't relate that to it. 17 points, get goose egged in the second half. This one just has people scratching their heads. There's not much X's and O's wise we can go through that will make this one make sense.
It was a great first half for the Bobcats. They were up 17 to nothing, and that's the way the ball game ended. You would like for them to put some more points on the board, kind of maybe dominate Mercyhurst in that second half the way that they were on the road to doing so in the first half. Not the most impressive performance that we've seen out of the Bobcats recently. Number 4, Tarleton State 52, Chattanooga 24. This was an impressive performance by Tarleton State. And Stone, it is one in a series of impressive performances by Tarleton State to kick off this season. 576 total yards, 404 through the air, 172 on the ground. There was a little bit of a problem, though. Their fine quarterback, Victor Gabalis, he went out of the ball game with a foot injury. They didn't seem to miss a beat, though.
No, they didn't. That's because they can lean on guys like Trey Page. Trey himself recorded his second 100-yard rushing game. He's ridiculous. So I think Victor Gabalis or not, this team has learned how to play within themselves. They know what their strengths are. And if you did watch when Vic stepped out of the game, I didn't see much of a divvy in play calling. It all looked the same to me. This team is a buzzsaw, and it's going to continue to be a buzzsaw. My favorite thing about this team so far, 4 weeks in, they beat who they're supposed to beat, and they beat them badly, and they don't play with their food.
It was Daniel Greek who came in and closed out the deal for Tarleton State. He's going to be a big factor going forward if Victor Gabalis can't play for a while. Number 5, Montana 63, Indiana State 20. Well, I said in the pick segment last week that I thought that Montana would clear cut the trees in Missoula, and boy howdy did they ever. This was just over with from the time it started, Stone. 647 total yards for Montana, 344 through the air, 303 on the ground, and the quarterback, Ayat, was steady. He was in the running for our National Offensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. It was a close, tightly contested thing this week for who was going to get that, and Ayat was certainly in the running. An impressive performance by Montana.
Welcome to the party, Mr. Ayat. Me, you, Kevin, we've been begging for him to have his game, and this was his game. Although it was Indiana State, a team who's going to finish the season with a lot of losses, this was really good to see, and I think most importantly, not a stagnant offense throughout four quarters. Explosive plays all over the place. You saw Gilman go for 70. Ayat had himself a 70-yarder through the air. Just explosive runs, passes. This is a game that I think Montana needed more than anybody could ever imagine.
Number 7, Illinois State, 38, North Alabama, 36, in double overtime. Nobody thought this game would be this close. And I got to tell you, Stone, and to people listening, it shouldn't have been this close because the refs really, really helped Illinois State in this one. In the first quarter, there was what was pretty clearly a fumble and a scoop and score for North Alabama that the referees blew the play dead, said it wasn't a fumble. Then they reviewed it, but because they blew it dead, they said, yes, it was a fumble, but North Alabama takes over at the spot of the fumble. I just hate that for a program like North Alabama, who has been struggling to find themselves in their D1 era. They had an opportunity to go on the road, knock off ranked Illinois State, and in double overtime on their two-point conversion, which they made, a pretty dubious cut block below the waist outside the tackle box penalty negated that. And then their two-point conversion had to come from guess where? About the 17.5-yard line versus the 2 when they had to replay it. You're probably not going to make that, and they didn't, and that's how that ball game ended up.
Number 8, Southern Illinois, 59, SEMO, 31.
What's funny is the Salukis are coming off of a blowout win, back-to-back blowout wins, beating a UT Martin squad, and then handling the SEMO team. Kevin, 59 points. I've called for two blowouts, but they've doubled. Kind of what I thought. I knew they would go and get 45 in this one, and they went and got 59. This team is clicking on all cylinders. I'm excited to sit down with DJ Williams and get to pick his brain how he feels if he's playing the best ball of his career, but I will leave everybody with this. They are a threat in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. When you look at the preseason rankings, you have Illinois State ahead of them. You have Youngstown State ahead of them. The Salukis have their eyes set on North Dakota State. And that doesn't mean they'll slip up. There's no sandwich spot. They just want North Dakota State. They want those defending chances. I have that feeling. And they're going to be ready for anybody in the Valley, whether it's South Dakota, whether it's North Dakota State, like I mentioned, the Youngstown, the Illinois State, they play them. And they're going to beat them, I think. I'm picking them to do so. This team with DJ Williams at the helm is just an absolute nightmare to try to defend.
Stone, have the Salukis ever beaten North Dakota State? I'm trying to remember.
A lot to a little.
Others receiving votes, Monmouth, 51. Number 9, Villanova, 33. Well, Derek Robertson's story, Stone. The young man can absolutely sling it. 637 total yards for Monmouth, yet they gave up almost 500 total yards to, let's face it, a pretty offensively challenged Villanova team. This is how Monmouth's going to have to win. They're just going to have to outscore people. And with Derek Robertson, they can do that. I mean, he was tremendous. Again, very tough call for who was going to be the offensive player of the week this week. Robertson's line, go ahead and give it to everybody, Stone.
20 of 30, 400 yards. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, touchdowns, four touchdowns on the night. This kid has day after day after day when it comes to Saturday.
Number 21, Abilene Christian, 45. Number 10, Austin Peay, 31. Austin Peay scored a couple of garbage time touchdowns to make this thing look a little better than it actually was. Abilene Christian's a pretty darn good football team, Stone. They showed me a lot in all three phases, the offense, the defense, and their special teams were good as well. Full of playmakers, this team is scary going forward.
They're absolutely scary. You picked this one like it was no problem. You didn't hesitate. This Austin Peay team is favored by a good chunk here. This game was never close at any point. I think it's the way Abilene Christian plays offense. It's really hard to prepare for. They can hit you from all angles. Overall, it was eye-opening. You were bullish. I feel I was a tad more bullish on this Austin Peay unit. Like we said, this thing was never close. Abilene Christian, from start to finish, from whistle to whistle, wire to wire, led this thing and goes a long way. They're a top 10 ball club, and it's warranted.
Number 20, Northern Arizona, 31. Incarnate Word, 23. This was the Ty Pennington show for Northern Arizona. He's a very underrated quarterback in the Big Sky Conference. He led this football team. Every time you felt like Incarnate Word was doing something to get back into the football game, Ty Pennington would lead the Lumberjacks on a drive. A couple of the prettiest throws you've ever seen, including one where it looked like a jump pass, but it went about 30 yards in the air, and he dropped it right in the bucket to a wide-open wide receiver in the end zone. And then he showed off his arm strength in a Hail Mary right before halftime, where that ball was 60 yards in the air. Ty Pennington's a name you're going to want to remember going forward for Northern Arizona. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on last week by giving you the FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, and we'll unveil the brand new FCS Nation Top 25. I know you'll want to hang out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com. And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. In just a moment, we will unveil the brand new FCS Nation Top 25. But first, we got a piece of business to handle from last week, which is the National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The National Offensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Western Carolina quarterback Teron Dickens. Last week versus Samford, Dickens had himself a day, y'all. 35 of 46 for 582 yards through the air with 6 touchdowns against no interceptions. He rushed the ball for 42 yards. What a day for Western Carolina quarterback Teron Dickens. The National Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Chris Presto, the fine linebacker from the Southern Illinois Salukis. Last week versus SEMO in the wall for the wheel, Chris Presto had 12 tackles, 1 interception, and a forced fumble. Congratulations to Teron Dickens, quarterback, Western Carolina, and Chris Presto, linebacker, Southern Illinois, for being named the FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. And here is the FCS Nation Top 25 for Week 4. We had some movement this week, y'all, in the Top 5. Number 1, the North Dakota State Bison. Number 2, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Rising to number 3, the Tarleton State Texans. Rising to number 4, the Montana Grizzlies. Falling to number 5, the Montana State Bobcats.
Kevin, what was it that finally made you pull the trigger and put Tarleton ahead of Montana State, let alone Montana?
They've just been destroying people, Stone, and they haven't really been trying to run it up on people. They haven't been able to not do it. It's been very impressive. They have the FBS win over Army. And Montana State, you know, if they would have closed out their game with Mercyhurst last week and scored 17 more points like they did in the first half instead of being shut out, maybe they don't get past this week. But that happened, and you can't not see it. And Montana, they destroyed Indiana State, which they should have, but they looked way more impressive doing it. So that's why Montana State, they didn't fall, they got passed, is how I like to put it. And that's our new top five. Number 6, the Idaho Vandals. Rising to number 7, the Southern Illinois Salukis. Falling to number 8, the Illinois State Redbirds. Rising with the bullet to number 9, Abilene Christian. And rounding out the top 10 is Tennessee Tech.
I think the obvious ones that stick out here are Idaho and Southern Illinois. Kevin, I have been so high on Southern Illinois. I've been ringing your ears for months now. Do you think 7 is proper for them? And for the people who are surprised that Southern Illinois is number 7 on our poll, you say to them what?
I would say stay tuned, because in the Stone Cold Quarterback segment this week, you're going to talk to the reason why Southern Illinois is rising so fast, so quickly, their fine quarterback, DJ Williams. And Abilene Christian, they handled Austin Peay last week at home. I thought Austin Peay would come in down there and compete with them, and the score looked a lot better than the ball game was. There were some garbage time touchdowns by the Governors to make it look better than it was, but Abilene Christian dominated them, and their quarterback is named Stone Earl, and he proved to everybody last week that all quarterbacks named Stone don't have to be slow, dumb, and unathletic. It was an impressive performance. Rising to number 11, the Monmouth Hawks. Staying steady at number 12, North Dakota. Number 13 is Lamar. Number 14 is South Dakota. And rounding out the top 15 is Rhode Island. I think I gave my thoughts on Rhode Island in a little bit of a rant last week. So if you're interested in why they're number 15 and not number 7 or number 6 or number 5 like other people had, just go back to last week's show. You'll find out all you ever wanted to know about the Rhode Island Rams. This group intrigues me. Monmouth, Derek Robertson. Holy smoke, Stone. That guy might be the best quarterback in Division I college football. And I'm not being facetious, and I'm not talking about levels. The young man can absolutely spin it. And Monmouth, if they get one iota of defense and can get a couple of stops a game, because you're not going to be able to stop them. It's right. Probably not going to happen. They're a dangerous, dangerous team going forward. Number 16, Lehigh. Number 17, the UC Davis Aggies. Number 18, West Georgia. Number 19, Northern Arizona. And falling to number 20, Austin Peay.
Kevin, you decided to hop off that West Georgia train last week. Do you regret it? I mean, this team is full of a bunch of stone cold killers, let alone stone cold killers who are playing football very, very confidently. I didn't get off the train. You did. Do you regret it?
I would have had a perfect week for upset specials if I would have stayed away from that ball game. So yeah, I regret it a little bit, but you'll have to tune into the pick segment to see if I regret it enough to not just stay right on board that train as it chugs along into the station this week. You may be surprised. Number 21 is Jackson State. Number 22 is East Tennessee State. Number 23, Presbyterian. Number 24 is Furman. And the first Ivy League team to crack the poll this year, number 25 is the Yale Bulldogs. Stone, we got some scuttlebutt with the top 25 this week, notably from a team that is in the capital city of the state of California. They were buzzing around us, if you will, in a couple of comment sections. And I would just like to maybe put some of that to rest if I can. Stone, what's a better victory? Is beating Mercer and Furman better, or is beating Mercyhurst and Central Arkansas better? Which one do you think? And for Furman, who's at number 24, is it better to beat Campbell and William & Mary, or is it better to beat Mercyhurst and Central Arkansas? And for number 25, Yale, is it better to beat Holy Cross, who is, what, 9 points away from being undefeated, having a win over Rhode Island and an FBS win? Or is it better to beat Central Arkansas and Mercyhurst? I'll leave that up to y'all's discretion to figure out, because it's time for us to take a timeout. We come back, we'll preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Lebanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. First up on the slate, number 14, South Dakota is at number 1, North Dakota State. Mr. Lebanowitz, if you're South Dakota, you have not looked especially impressive the first 3 weeks of the season, 4 weeks of the season, have you? Well, there's a really good way to have nobody remember that after Saturday night, and that's by going into Fargo Dome and winning your third in a row in the regular season over the Bison. Going to be a tough, tall task, but if you got to do something like that, having that left hand and left arm of Aiden Bauman is the fellow you want to ride into Fargo to try to ride out with a victory.
Yeah, there's no doubt. What will shut people up the most? Yeah, it's beating the defending champs and North Dakota State Bison. North Dakota State Bison, Cole Payton coming off a career day passing. Come on, baby. This is primo Missouri Valley football matched up right now. Both of these teams are going to butt face mask for four quarters. I'm excited for this one. Low scoring affair. Tied up in the fourth quarter. I can just smell it right now.
Mercyhurst is at number 2, South Dakota State. Mercyhurst may have well just called their out-of-conference schedule the Tour of Pain, because they have played some very good football teams in their out-of-conference. That stretch ends this week with the visit to Brookings to take on the Jackrabbits. For the Jackrabbits, all those questions you've been hearing from people. Why didn't you beat Drake worse? He didn't look so great against Drake. What did Drake do to y'all that you weren't expecting? Way to get rid of all that talk is by going out and blasting Mercyhurst. I think South Dakota State is probably going to try and keep the dogs on them this time, Stone. Maybe they do little things that aren't really typical of those people in that region and that thing. I think they might try to run it all up on Mercyhurst here.
I think so too. I think they keep their foot on the pedal. And I think this is a game in the locker room that you're looking at just like Drake, except you want to lay it on this unit. So I think if you're South Dakota State and you're the fan base, prepare to have a really good day in Brookings and prepare to score a lot of points here, because they heard all the chatter and they want to shut you guys up. So beat down on the way. There's just no running from it. Mercyhurst, their schedule is, I think, something to be studied when things are all said and done, because this is ridiculous.
Number 6, Idaho is at number 4, Montana. When did we first know that Idaho was back on the scene as an FCS program, FCS Nation. Do you remember? It was when Jason Eck led an Idaho team into Missoula, Montana and whipped them and took the little brown Stein back to Idaho with them. That was the first time a lot of you heard the name Hayden Hatton, if you recall. I'm not quite sure if Idaho has anybody as good as Hayden Hatton on this squad, but they're still a very good football team. I expect this one to be competitive, a four-quarter ball game. I think this one comes down to the wire, Stone.
Four-quarter ball game. There's no doubt of that. Literally no doubt whatsoever. This game has it written on its four. Head. It's whoever makes bigger plays down the stretch. Yes, cliche. Yes, basic. I know. But these teams aren't necessarily known for their big plays. I talked about having success with some of the explosives against an Indiana State team. This is not an Indiana State team, so I don't necessarily expect it. Whoever has more explosive plays in the fourth quarter, maybe the third quarter, win this one. But this one's going to be fun. Get your popcorn out.
Eastern Washington is at number five, Montana State. It wasn't all that long ago these two teams would have played a 60-57 shootout type of football game. Eastern Washington just don't have those type of fellas this year. But Montana State struggled on offense in the second half against Mercyhurst last week. You gotta feel like Montana State's gonna wanna come out in this one and start off quickly so that whole thing just doesn't snowball on you. If they haven't scored at the end of the first quarter, you start to question, what's going on? What's wrong with our offense? And then maybe Eastern Washington has a chance to steal one on the road. You gotta start quickly if you're the Bobcats, I think, in this one, Stone.
Listen, you are pissed off if you're the Bobcats. You 100% have to start quickly. You got your butt chewed out. This tape was awful. This tape was awful watching this thing back in the second half. This is one of those situations where you go in the team meeting, you go into your position rooms, you watch this tape, and the coach stands up and says, this is the only time we're going to be watching this tape. And he will physically throw it in the garbage, and you forget about it. You move on to next week, and there's a plump opponent in Eastern Washington to go take out some of that frustration on. So I expect Montana State to do just that. They got to win the games that they're supposed to by a wide margin.
Number nine, Abilene Christian is at Incarnate Word. This is the same boat for Incarnate Word that South Dakota is in. You've had a start off to your season that nobody expected, well, maybe except for me, but nobody else expected, and you have an opportunity to turn that all around with four quarters of solid football at home against Abilene Christian. Your Abilene Christian, huge win at home last week against Austin Peay. But you know what the first step to being a great program is? It's getting that first big win of the season. You know what the second step is? That's just as important. It's backing that first step up with a game you ought to win against an inferior opponent. Let's see if Abilene Christian can stand Prosperity.
Hit the nail on the head with this being similar to the Coyotes and the Bison. So many parallels in those matchups, especially at the quarterback position, especially on what these teams want to do. And I know they're complete opposites in what they want to do, but they still have their identity, and in a specific game, they're going to try to stick to it. This is another fun matchup. This week five slate has been my favorite of the bunch. I think we have a lot of exciting games on deck. I think this one can get tricky for both units, so both of them need to get off the bus and come prepared for this one.
Number 10, Tennessee Tech is at Tennessee State. Bobby Wilder's had his Golden Eagle squad looking fantastic on both sides of the ball in every ball game this year. They've not really been tested yet, so Tennessee State will be a little bit of a test for them. They got a lot of talent on that Tiger squad, but Tennessee Tech has been steamrolling people, and I'm not sure that stops this week.
The train has 100% left the station, and it's chugging right along here. Tennessee State will be, like you said, the only test so far. It's not that hard of a test, though. If you're Tennessee Tech, you start to see top 10 rankings getting thrown around. You start to feel yourself a little bit. State could sneak you. Can't let that happen. Got to come out of this one firing on all cylinders right out the gates, right off the ripper.
Central Arkansas is at number 13, Lamar. It seems like every football program has that one school that has their number, that no matter what you do, it's always going to be close. They match up really well with you. For Lamar, that team is Central Arkansas. They've played some wars over the years between these two. I think Lamar is a better football team, but Central Arkansas is going to get up for this one. And they haven't shown a lot so far. Have the Bears, it's a proud program, ranked in the top 10 a lot of the year last year. Didn't finish the season that way. But Lamar, this is your chance. Those people are starting to chatter about Lamar, too. Wow, it's weird seeing them ranked so high. Why are they ranked so high? You have an opportunity at home against a team you haven't fared well against historically to quiet in some of that chatter.
Yeah, if Lamar can win this game and win it quite easily, I think it will go a long way. I think you're warranted in asking the question, why is Lamar ranked 13th in the country? I think they have an opportunity against a Central Arkansas team who will compete, will do more than compete. We watch it each and every week. They're up for the challenge. I just think on one side you have an identity crisis, and on the other you have an emerging identity. So those are two things that are written on paper, and you got to make them true if you're Lamar. You got to get out of here with the victory. But Central Arkansas is going to compete. I can see this one being tight in the first half.
Number 15, Rhode Island is at Western Michigan of the FBS. Rhode Island, I am not a believer in them. I made that pretty clear last week. But I'm willing to become one. And that road's got to start on the road at Western Michigan, an FBS opponent this week. Got to get that offense fired up, Stone.
And I can't sit here and confidently say that I think they're going to. Western Michigan, where the real mismatch is that front seven. They're going to get after the quarterback and beat up on that offensive line, lean on them for four quarters. And I think that's ultimately where this game is decided. I think if you're Rhode Island, you got to take shots. You got to try to sneak. You're going to see some fake punts, things like that. You really got to muck this one up if you think you have a chance.
Penn is at number 16, Lehigh. Been impressed with what Lehigh has been putting out this season. And Penn, you know, it's just the second week of Ivy League football. They are a little fresher than this Lehigh team is right now. And they say you make your biggest improvement in between week one and week two. Well, Penn has some room for improvement. Be a tough test for the Quakers on the road at Lehigh. Lehigh's tough at home. And they're playing a brand of football that doesn't look like Patriot League football of old. They're able to push people around up front is Lehigh. They're big on the front side on the offensive line, have talented running backs. They can eat the clock, and they have a talented quarterback who can throw it over the top. There's a lot to like about this Lehigh team. Weber State is at number 17, UC Davis. Man, it just seems like a few years ago, and it was just a few years ago, where Weber State was on the upswing as a program, and UC Davis was just trying to get back to being a good program. Now it's switched. UC Davis, Caden Pennick has been a difference maker for them all year. Their defense, their linebacking core is probably as good as anybody has in the entire subdivision, and maybe at any level. Davis has a lot of great players, and Pennick is the straw that stirs that football team. They've got to get it going on offense early here, because Weber State is a type of ball club, ground and pound, but they've developed a little bit of a passing game too. You can take Weber State's heart if you'll get up on them early. I'm not saying they'll quit, but Weber State will have the type of ball game, if they're down 21 to nothing before they know it, to where it all snowball on them and that ball game will be over with in the third quarter. Number 18, West Georgia is at Southern Utah. West Georgia's been impressive, no doubt about it, Stone, on all three facets of the game. They're never out of a football game. They were down last week against East Tennessee State. Didn't bother them, didn't faze them one bit. Southern Utah, we said they were desperate last week. I don't know if there's a word that will describe what desperate means more than desperate, but if there is, that's them. Southern Utah is a team that needs a win badly. West Georgia, it's a long trip to play a football game to go to Southern Utah.
Desperation works for teams when teams aren't really paying them any mind, when they're taking them lightly, when your backs are against the wall and the other team is scoffing. That's not the case. West Georgia doesn't give a damn who they're playing. Better, worse, just as good. They practice. They play with the same intensity. This team is driven. They have a goal. And this is a game that on paper they should win. And I think this team is going to find themselves in a groove and a rhythm, winning those types of ball games and making that the norm as they progress and finally have a home here in the FCS. I like West Georgia in this matchup.
You're picking them again. Please don't. Number 19, Northern Arizona is at Portland State. Don't really think there's a whole lot to see here. Ty Pennington, I think, will be the difference maker. He's going to be a difference maker in just about every Northern Arizona game. Portland State, man, you just got to do what Stone Banowitz says. You got to muck this thing up. You got to make it a turnover fest. You got to make it a fake punt fest. You got to get turnovers. You got to run trick plays. Tall order for the Vikings. Mercer is at number 22, East Tennessee State. That loss to Presbyterian by Mercer isn't looking quite so bad as it did when it happened. It looked bad when it happened, y'all. There's no doubt about it. But last week, they were impressive in Charleston against the Citadel. They won that ball game 40 to nothing. 40 to nothing in Charleston against the Citadel. East Tennessee State, they had fourth quarter problems against West Georgia. A lot of that was West Georgia, but East Tennessee State's defense and the way they played in the ballgame certainly wasn't how they started it. This would be a great Southern Conference matchup, and whoever wins this one has a leg up for that SoCon title.
Yeah, but yesterday's prize is not today's prize. Very similar to what I talked about with watching tape once and throwing it in the garbage. I think you have to do that if you're the Bucks here. You played well for a little bit. You ended up blowing that game in just an insane fashion, something that you don't always see. But this is a get-right spot against a Mercer team that we know is gettable. So ETSU's playing a little motivated and Mercer's playing a little desperate. I think that equals a recipe for a good ball game to get eyes on. This one's interesting for a lot of reasons.
Morehead State is at number 23, Presbyterian. The Blue Hose, hell of a story. Them in West Georgia and UTRGV, who we haven't really talked about much this week. Those are the three top stories, I think, in the subdivision so far this year. Presbyterian, they're going to pack their stadium this week in Clinton, South Carolina. That hasn't happened in a long, long, long time there. Morehead State, not very good. Presbyterian is, but it has to linger in your mind. Can Presbyterian put it together week after week after week after week? I think that's a very valid question. We'll have to see.
If you're Presbyterian, you've prepped for every game after making national news in the subdivision like it's your Super Bowl. You've had to sweat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, Fridays, just hoping that you play well, pushing all your chips to the middle of the table. This is the first week I think they get to relax, play comfortably. This Morehead State team hasn't beaten anybody. I don't think that's necessarily plan on it. So if you're Presbyterian, you have to run this thing up. You have to really go to each and every corner of your play call sheet and ultimately have a day and win because you're a top 25 ball club and you're getting recognized nationally. So go out there, play clean all four quarters. I think that's the goal for them. And if you're Morehead State, similar to the Portland State and similar to a lot of these guys on this list, not necessarily this week because they have some pretty tight matchups, but you got to try to muck it up. You got to try to make this one funky and make this one stink. I don't necessarily think that they have the horses and the guys to do that, but it will be interesting to find out.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. This is the pick segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I butt face mask and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, number 14, South Dakota is at number 1, North Dakota State.
I spent a lot of time, spent all week figuring out which side of the fence I wanted to play football on. I think the Bison ultimately squeak out of this one, 28-21.
Too much Bison QB Cole Payton and receiver Bryce Lance. And don't forget about that vaunted Bison rushing attack for the Coyotes. He's here in this one, I believe. Take number 1, North Dakota State at home over number 14, South Dakota, 31-17. Mercyhurst is at number 2, South Dakota State.
Good spot for South Dakota State coming off of a bye at Mercyhurst, a team that scored 0 points last week. I like South Dakota State to have these guys schemed up, 48-7 the final.
Hard not to admire this Mercyhurst football team, but they're going to take it on the chin in this one, I'm afraid. Number 2, South Dakota wins at home in Brookings, 34-10. Number 6, Idaho is at number 4, Montana.
This has low scoring affair written all over it. I do fancy Idaho's chances here. I think this is a gettable game. So I'm going upset special of the week. Idaho 21, Montana 17. Give it to me, baby.
I'm not touching this one for an upset, Stone. And I've been higher on Idaho than anybody else in FCS media since the preseason. And I really like this football team. And I'll be present for this one. But it's very, very difficult to win in Missoula. Very difficult to win in Missoula and Washington Grizzly Stadium. I said it twice just so that you could get the sense of foreboding you got to feel when you go into that place. Take number 4, Montana, at home over number 6, Idaho, in a close one, 27-24. Eastern Washington is at number 5, Montana State.
This is just one you have to have if you're Lamson, Dowler, and Vegan and company. I like the Bobcats winning this one by a decently wide margin. Give me the Cats, 30. To Eastern Washington's 14.
The Eagles will be game, and Aaron Best will have his boys ready to go for their trip into Bozeman, but they just don't have the horses this year, I'm afraid. Take number 5, Montana State, at home over Eastern Washington, 35-20. Number 9, Abilene Christian is that Incarnate Word.
Kevin, didn't some folks have this Incarnate Word team preseason top five?
They did, sir.
And here we are again, picking against them. Now unranked, Abilene Christian wins this ball game 35-21.
Huge win last week for Abilene Christian. A very tough test on the road this week for Abilene Christian. The word this week is upset. Take Incarnate Word at home over number 9 Abilene Christian, 31-30. Upset special of the week, number 1. Number 10, Tennessee Tech is at Tennessee State.
I think Tech is the better unit. I think this is a squad who, doesn't matter, on the road, home, is going to find a way to win ball games. They're just more well-rounded than the State team is right now. Give me Tech, 28-14.
I believe the Golden Eagles, I think they'll roll here. Number 10, Tennessee Tech wins on the road in Nashville at Tennessee State. Golden Eagles, 38-13. Central Arkansas is at number 13, Lamar.
Another sneaky good matchup. Two teams that know each other pretty darn well. I think Lamar ultimately comes out of this one with a victory. If you're Central Arkansas, there are games that you have to have. This is one they want, but they can't have it. Lamar, 31. Central Arkansas is 20.
If Lamar is who we think they are, they should take care of this piece of business at home. I believe they will. Take number 13, Lamar, at home over Central Arkansas, 27-20. Penn is at number 16, Lehigh.
Not enough can be said about this Lehigh unit. They're playing some of the best football that I personally have recently seen them play in the last 5-7 years. I don't know. That's just how I feel. I like Lehigh winning this game. Penn has not yet knocked all the cobwebs off, and I know Ivy League fans, they hate to hear that crap, but I think it's true, especially for the Lehigh team who is clicking on all cylinders. Give me the Hawks, 28 to Penn's 14.
This will be a good one, y'all, but Lehigh will get a couple of defensive stops when they really need them, and that'll make all the difference. Take number 16, Lehigh, at home over Penn, 35-28. Weber State is at number 17, UC Davis.
This is a big one. Going upset special of the week. UC Davis has just not shown us enough. This is somewhat of a hasty relationship, a heated rivalry, depending on the year, depending on when you point it out. I like Weber State upset special of the week. Give me the Wildcats. 31 to UC Davis is 28.
Not me, sir. I'm taking the Aggies here. And the reason? Caden Pennick. He's been outstanding. Don't think Weber's going to have any answer for that young man. Number 17, UC Davis wins at home over Weber State, 37-27. Number 18, West Georgia is at Southern Utah.
You got to go score a lot of points if you want this one. I also think defensively you got to muck this thing up. Give me West Georgia 21, Southern Utah's 17. I know. The last time this team scored 17, I just see this one being low scoring this week.
I have not done too well picking against West Georgia so far, but that train, she's a left of station, and it's going way too fast for me to jump off now. Take Southern Utah at home over West Georgia, 34-28. Number 19, Northern Arizona is at Portland State.
Tough day to be a Viking here. I like the Lumberjacks, 40-10.
Bruce Barnum deserves a better fate, but he won't get it this week. Take number 19, NAU to Axum, 31-7. Utah Tech is at number 20, Austin Peay.
Austin Peay, this is a get-right spot and a tasty one at that. Give me Austin Peay, the Governors, 35. Utah Tech's, 28.
The Govs have Utah Tech at a perfect time. Austin Peay gets right in this one. Take number 20, Austin Peay, 38-21 over Utah Tech. Mercer is at number 22, East Tennessee State.
ETSU is going to put it all together at some point, so I'm hoping it's this week. Give me ETSU. Give me the Bucks, 35 to Mercer's 21.
Not me, sir. Mercer flat out whipped last week in Charleston, and that's not an easy thing to do. The Bucks, well, they folded in the fourth quarter at West Georgia. Mercer wins here over number 22, East Tennessee State, on the road. Take my upset special of the week, number 2. Bears win 27-24. Morehead State is at number 24, Presbyterian.
Presbyterian can't stop, won't stop. Give me the Blue Hose, 38. Morehead State's 7.
Y'all had better call PC by their other name. And that name is butter, because they're on a roll, y'all, and it will continue. Take PC at home over Morehead State, 31-17. That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is produced and co-hosted by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. I'd like to invite each and every one of you right back here next week for another episode. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you, that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules, and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.